In 2013, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. That was a pretty tragic thing to hear. But take a step back and think about that statement. I bet everyone in this room has heard similar news about your mother, or your father, family member, or friend. And it makes you wonder what's more tragic, hearing someone you love say, "I have cancer," or how common and even ordinary that statement has become. It turns out, Mom actually stumbled into her cancer diagnosis. She had been experiencing abdominal pain for several months, and this was hard for me, since my mom lived out in the sticks in Wisconsin, and my brother lived in Florida, and I live out here in Boston. And being so far away, I felt like there really wasn't much I could do to help her. And eventually, the pain got worse, and she started to experience it 24/7. But the doctors were able to narrow it down to some scar tissue that hadn't healed properly from some early surgeries. And a simple laparoscopic procedure would be able to take care of it. Okay. But to be careful and thorough, they did a CT scan on her, and that's when they stumbled into the mass in her stomach. So they did a biopsy, or they did an endoscopy, and sure enough, there was a 2 to 3 centimeter tumor. So suddenly, this 24/7 pain she had been experiencing was now just a sideshow to this really horrible main event. Now, I imagine that anybody that would hear this news would want the doctors to do something immediately, surgery, drugs, something. But after performing a biopsy, and because the tumor was still relatively small, they believed it was benign, and they told my mom, just, you know, why don't you just wait a year and then come back and we'll check on you then. So neither of my parents are scientists and really have any scientific inclination whatsoever. And my chosen profession and field of study was organic chemistry. And I imagine this just left them scratching their head. But chemistry did lead me into a job in cancer drug discovery. And I'm still my mom's son. So she called me up with the news. And understandably, she was very confused and anxious about spending a year of her retirement with a tumor lodged in her stomach. I was also extremely distraught, and I felt really far away from her in that moment. But as she was talking, describing what the doctor's diagnosis was to me, a light went off in my head. So I said, "Mom, send me the detailed doctor's report. I want to look at it." So when I look at the report and I read through it, and as I'm looking at it, I realize, bingo, I know there's something that I can actually do to help my mom. So this particular tragic, ordinary cancer story came with two peculiar twists. So the first was that my mom was diagnosed with a tumor with a cancer called GIST, G-I-S-T, or gastrointestinal stromal tumor, which is a fancy way of saying she had stomach cancer. At the time, I was working in a startup biotech here in Cambridge called Blueprint Medicines. And we were working on developing drugs for two different types of cancer at the time, and one of them just happened to be GIST. So what are the odds of that? And then you ask yourself the question about what you actually do for a living. You come into the office, you sit at your computer, and you try to design molecules in order to save your mother's life. So the second twist in this story also arose from Blueprint's work on GIST. Now, we all know that the Boston and Cambridge area is full of world-renowned cancer doctors and researchers. So even though we were just a startup company of about 30 people, we had as a chief medical officer the world's foremost authority on GIST, a doctor named George Dimitri. And you could say he's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of GIST, and I happen to know him. A lot of people would call that pretty lucky. Mom said to me, "So Steve, it was a miracle. The stars were aligned for us." Now, as a scientist, we're not really comfortable invoking divine intervention or astrology, so we just call that serendipity, but honestly, it's really the same thing. So it took me about 3 weeks to get some time into George's busy schedule in order to meet with him. And as a chemist, I don't work on the clinical side of things that much, so I hadn't really spoken to George too much. But if you ever met George, you'd immediately find him to be a very gentle and delightful man. And he's exactly the kind of doctor you want your mom to have if she'd get that, she had that tragic news. So I sat down with George, and he looks at me and he just says, "What's up?" And I guess I was feeling a little overwhelmed, and I was tongue-tied and stuttered, and finally I just handed the doctor's report over to him, and I said, "This is my mom." So he took it, and he looks at it, and in a few seconds he says, "Oh, no, this has to come out. This has to come out. Can your mom come to Boston?" And I said, I can fly her out here. She could stay with me." And he said, wait. "Where does your mom live?" And I said, "Well, she lives in the Midwest between Milwaukee and Chicago." And he says, I'll find somebody out there that can take care of your mom." So in 10 minutes, he comes back, and he's got the name of 3 doctors. So my mom was relieved by this news. She researched the 3 docs, and she settled on a doctor named Mitchell Posner at the University of Chicago Hospital. Now, she picked the UFC Hospital for 2 reasons. The first was that that's where I went to college, so she felt some comfort and familiarity going back there. And the second reason was not so nice. My mom's little sister, my aunt, had lung cancer, surgery there, but my aunt could be with my mom to help her navigate that huge maze of a place. So my mom and aunt met Dr. Posner and then liked him immediately. And Dr. Posner says, "Well, what brings you to me?" So my mom starts telling him the story, and then when she gets to the part where her son works with George Dimitri, Dr. Posner sat bolt upright and he says, "Your son knows George Dimitri?" And she says, "Well, yeah, are you familiar with him?" And he says, "Of course I am. He's the king of GIST." So now imagine my mother sitting there and hearing this, right? So despite the fact that I'm really no more than a lowly chemist at a startup biotech amongst a sea of companies out here, she now thinks that I mingle and hobnob amongst a royal court of cancer aristocracy out here on the East Coast. So I think this was the first time in this whole ordeal that my mom actually felt that everything was going to be okay. So Dr. Posner says, "Well, you know, we're going to do surgery. We're going to take that out." My mom says, "Well, that's what Dr. Dimitri recommended as well." And Dr. Posner said, "Well, of course he did. He's the king of GIST." So a few weeks later, my mom had the laparoscopic surgery. They took out her tumor, and they even took care of the scar tissue that had caused her all that pain, and that started this whole business in the first place. About a month later, she was out in the yard, mowing the lawn, like nothing ever happened. But I still think about this a lot. Cancer is a very profound disease, and doing research on it is very complex and even very abstract. So as scientists, we try to approach our research as a problem or a puzzle to solve. But this can leave you detached from the end result. So a lot of companies will bring patients in who have a disease that they're working on, and they'll meet with the staff and give talks about their experiences. And these are always very powerful and moving events. But the idea that you could be working on a drug that your own mother would take changes the way you think about the job. So how would you ever be able to stop thinking about that problem? How could you ever stop trying to solve that puzzle? So you hope, and maybe even pray that your mother or your father or loved one never needs that drug that you're working on. But then you take a step back and you realize it's always someone's mother or father or loved one who gets cancer and needs that drug. So then you decide to stay in the office a little later that evening. Thank you.